You're listening to the Black Eagles podcast.
Ahmet Dursun Sergen aldı. Sergen Güler yan yana. Sergen Güler. Sergen. Yanında Tümer var. Tümer'e doğru aksiyon kaybetti. Tümer topu aldı. Sergen aldı. Gol. Gol. Gol. Sergen attı. Sergen attı. Şampiyonluk geldi. Sergen attı. Şampiyonluk geldi.
İbrahim'in pası. Zuma. Şimdi Ahmet. İkinci gole gidiyor Beşiktaş. Ahmet. Ve gol.
Welcome back to the Black Eagles podcast. I think we all had a rough night of sleep after a very disappointing result yesterday against newly promoted side Pendikspor. The final score there was 1-1, and in very dramatic fashion as Pendik got a penalty in added time. Whether it was a penalty or not, I think you can argue for a penalty for sure. I don't think we should be complaining relentlessly about the penalty. The referee initially didn't give it, but VAR called him over. The argument here from people is that this was not a clear error. There was minor contact. You can definitely give it, but whether this is a clear and obvious error is the big question. That's what is the important question here, whether VAR should call over the referee or not. The question then becomes kind of like, or well, you know, the thing that people start saying is, well, what if this would be our rivals, or what if this would be us? I mean, we've obviously seen since the VAR era started that even with VAR, you can still very frequently not get penalties that seem quite obvious. So even in the VAR era, it's not always sure you're going to get a penalty, even though you should probably have one. And it's hard to really distinguish how they do things when it comes to that. But of course, the big talking point after this game will be our goal that got disallowed. Omar Colley had already opened the scoring after 12 minutes, and we were leading the game. And after that, of course, Beşiktaş had some very good chances, but Pendik's goalkeeper Erdem Canpolat made some very good saves. In the first half, Valentin Rozier had a really good lofted cross into the box towards Masuaku, who got on the end of the cross and headed it toward goal. It was a good header, but Erdem made a very good save. In the first half, Beşiktaş was definitely in charge, but they didn't create enough chances, and this is kind of what we've been seeing for the entire preseason and even in the European games. Despite the fact that we have won all our official matches so far, that includes those four European matches and the first, the opening league game, but we have had this lack of creativity, lack of chance creation, even though at the end of this match we will have created about four 100% goal opportunities from open play, plus then of course the goal we scored and the goal I got this loud, which I'll get to in a little bit. For the first half, I don't remember any real big chances other than the Muleka header. There were some good opportunities still where Jetson Fernandes made a really good dribble, but then got stopped off by his shot got blocked by a defender. They of course were parking the bus, which is to be expected when you play at home against a side like this. But in the second half, gotta get a little bit of credit to Pendikspor. They came out of the dressing room and had a lot more offensive intent. Although it was still Beşiktaş creating the chances, Pendikspor weren't creating anything really. They were more threatening, but it was still Beşiktaş who had the chances. Vincent Aboubakar had a really good opportunity to make it 2-0 after a really good quick goal kick from Mert, who found Muleka with a really long ball, really good pass. Then Muleka crossed it into Aboubakar. Aboubakar volleyed it. But again, Erdem Canpolat with a really good save. Then, of course, Beşiktaş scored his second goal on another corner. In the first half, Colley had already scored from a corner, and in the second half, he did so again. But for some weird reason, the referee, the linesman, on the opposite end of where Masuaku took the outswinging corner, immediately raised his flag that the ball went out. First and foremost, he is supposed to keep his flag down until after the play is concluded. So he already made a mistake there. He should be keeping that flag down until the end. Once the goal is scored, then he can raise his flag, then he can tell the referee that it went over. However, there's no way that he could see from his perspective. He's more than 50 meters, more than 50 meters removed from that ball. Unless it is very obvious that it completely bends over and he can see it through the crowd, through the goalkeeper on his line, through the goalpost, through the nets. But there's no way in hell he can see that. I'm sorry, there's just... he cannot see that. There's just no way. He can think that it went over, but he can't say so with certainty. The thing that troubles me most here is that after the goal got disallowed, there was some communication between the referee and VAR for maybe 30 seconds at most. And at no point did the broadcast show a VAR image, a still image, where it was clearly to be seen that the ball crossed the line. There just wasn't any proof. And in these sorts of situations, it's kind of like you have to imagine when there's a goal that they don't really know whether the ball crossed the line or not, right? Whether the ball went behind the goal line or not. In those moments, they have to prove the ball went over the line in order to award the goal. And the same is true for when they disallow a goal for supposedly going behind the touchline. They have to be able to show it. In the VAR era, they have to be able to show that. And they couldn't. At least it didn't in the broadcast. Maybe in the VAR room, they checked it and it was obvious and clear. I don't believe it was, because Besiktas shared a video from a very good angle after the game where you could clearly see the ball at no point completely crosses the line. It's the ball is a sphere after all. So this was like, I believe, around the 72nd minute or so. So we made it 2-0 then. We had some more chances. Oxlade-Chamberlain and Rashica came in. Chamberlain got in a really good goal-scoring opportunity, but had Erdem Djampolat save it again. So that's three 100% chances already. And then there were some, you know, opportunities to counter, but the real goal-scoring opportunities at that point were limited to Bulekas in the first half, Abubakar in the second half, and then also Chamberlain in the second half. Then, of course, you know, in the 90th minute, they get awarded their penalty for Masuaku briefly making contact with Thuram. There was definitely contact. You cannot deny this. Whether it's enough for a penalty, well, I think if you look at that on VAR, you kind of have to give it. The question is whether VAR should be coming in there or not, because is it a clear and obvious error or not? Thuram obviously goes down really easily, wants to get an easy penalty. But that's fine, whatever, you know, give the penalty. Then right after they scored the penalty, converted by Oscar Romero, who made his debut, I believe, for Pendik. He's a Paraguay international, coming from Boca Juniors, really good player. You could see it straight away. As soon as he came in, they started playing better. Still, regardless of them starting to play better, they didn't create any chances. I don't think Mert had to make a single save this game until that moment of the penalty, of course. So then the penalty came. And then after the penalty, there was still one really big opportunity with Ante Rebic, who had come on as a sub, crossing it in. Really good cross by him. And Demir Ege, who had also come in as a cross, heading it toward goal. And again, a good opportunity, but Erdem, again, with a really good save. So, at the end of the day, people are very critical of this performance, and rightfully so. It wasn't a good performance against on the opening home game, so to speak, because obviously we played last week already against Karagümrük, but in our first home game of the Super League season against a newly promoted side like Pendikspor that lost, was it 5-0 or 5-1 last week to Hatay, mind you, haven't played a competitive game in almost half a year. Against a team like that, you have to make a statement, like you have to win 3-0 or something. And I don't think there's any reason why we couldn't have done that yesterday. We had, like I said, 4 100% chances, and we had our goal and our disallowed goal. So really, we had 6 good goal scoring opportunities. They should have never taken our goal away. That's the big travesty of this game. And really, if they don't make that, in my opinion, very blatant error, it's 2-0 and nothing is going on. We always win this game. At 2-0, there's no chance. Like, the only opportunity they had to get anything from this game was if they, what exactly what happened, if they get like a late penalty or something, or they score some sort of worldy from outside the box, because they weren't creating any clear-cut chances. But that doesn't take away that, despite the fact that you create 4 really good goal scoring opportunities, that is just not enough over 90 minutes. And it's mainly about the football that we played. You know, the football just wasn't good enough, and that's in large part down to the fact that transfers, as almost always except for last summer for some reason, were late. Chamberlain, Rashica, Rebic, you know, these are all signings that are supposed to be key for us this season. I'm sure they will be. Chamberlain looked good, Rashica looked good. Rebic still has a little bit of, I have the impression he isn't 100% match fit yet, but you can see that he's a quality player. He has some good moments. He had one really good just cross the field pass over the ground, not a cross pass or anything, but like really good pass. And then of course he had that one cross that Demirege got on the end on and probably should have scored. But you can see that these are all quality footballers, but they come in late. They don't have the opportunity to participate in a training camp. They don't have the opportunity to participate in any friendly matches. So in order for them to build up chemistry with their new teammates, they have to do so in these official games already. And that is one of the big problems and one of the reasons that we should be further ahead than we are now, especially given the fact that we've already played 4 qualifying games. You know, those 4 qualifying games are 4 competitive matches, and at the very least, the majority of transfers should have been done for those qualifying games, so they would have been able to get some playing time in those and were able to gel with their new fellow teammates. So, you know, therefore, of course, the club deserves criticism. The board deserves heavy scrutiny, I think, especially in particular if you see the fact that we did spend quite a bit of money this summer. You know, we spent 4 million on Onana, we spent 5.5 million or 5.2 million on Rashica, we spent 500k on Rebic, we spent significant sums already. So it's not that there wasn't any budget for new transfers. Yeah, of course, I understand you're waiting, you're trying to drive prices down, fine, but still, you need to get your homework in order. I'm not saying you have to finish all your transfers before the preseason training camp, but you have to finish a good bulk of them, and we just simply didn't. The only transfer we had finished when the training camp started, other than Artur Masuaku's transfer, which was made permanent, was Emre Can Bulut, who I think most of you probably don't even know who he is, other than seeing him maybe in the first friendly or so and on the team sheet. Like, we've never actually seen him play properly because he's a player that came from the third division and Sinol hasn't given him any opportunities really, other than in the first couple of friendlies. So yeah, in that regard, they've just been lacking. That, however, does not take away, and that does not give the referees the right to decide over whether we are worthy of 3 points. Of course we deserved the 3 points yesterday. It's not because we didn't play particularly good that we didn't deserve the 3 points. We had the majority of the chances. They had no chances. And we should have been 2-0 up. They took away one of our legitimately scored goals, at least until the opposite is proven. If they come out today and they show a still that clearly shows the ball out, then fine. Then we should stop bitching and move on. But it's always like this, you know. You don't know The Super League season isn't truly underway until you get properly screwed like this, right? Like, it feels like it has to happen every season. Like, after a couple of match days, you have to get a good bit of shenanigans in there. I think it's a little sad that that always has to happen to in our games. Like, it's done on... I mean, look, let's be honest. If this happens against Galatasaray and Fenerbahce, then right now they are lighting the media on fire. And that's simply... Beşiktaş definitely came out of the gate yesterday with a tweet that showed the footage. And you know, one of the board members also came out and publicly denounced these decisions made against us. I just think that, yes, you should definitely make a clear statement that this is not acceptable, that a goal like this, a clean goal like this, just gets cancelled without any proof and VAR not showing anything on the live broadcast that it's actually gone out. The penalty, I wouldn't really complain about. I mean, look, if we get that penalty, which we rarely get those types of penalties, but if we get that type of if we would get that penalty, it's not like we would be complaining, right? So I don't think you should really be complaining if you get it against either. We should have scored at least a second goal at that point, which we did, got taken away. That's the big gripe coming out of this game. That does not excuse the fact that the football wasn't good, but look, it's match day two. It's always going to take a while before the football becomes good. It's not like other teams are playing great football at the moment. You just have to win these types of games, get the 3 points. And look, if we, like I said, if we had that second goal, if it wasn't taken away, then you win with ease. And you take the 3 points. And now we drop two. And it's going to be a long and tough season. We all know that our rivals did some really good shrewd business on the transfer market, brought in some really good players. This could very well be one of those seasons, like in the Premier League, where Manchester City and Liverpool go head to head and both get 90 points. You know, I doubt it will be, because the Turkish teams rarely are that well oiled of a machine. But who knows? Maybe they do go head-to-head for that long and with a high amount of points, and we can't afford to drop points in these types of games. We have Adana Demirspor up next in the league, away. That's going to be a very tough match. Then we have, I believe, Sivasspor at home, and then I forget which is the next. Oh, I think it's Trabzonspor away after that, so we don't have a very easy schedule. Not to mention that up next is Dynamo Kiev on Thursday, because I'll let you know now that we have to play against Dynamo Kiev again, a team that we faced many times in Europe already over the years. They managed to eliminate Aris Saloniki in the Conference League playoffs, Conference League qualifiers, sorry, after penalties. They won 2-1 at home, but they had lost 1-0 in Greece. And then they went on to win 6-5 on penalties. So it's Dynamo Kiev for us on Thursday. We play away the first leg. Of course, that leg will not be played in Ukraine. It will be played in Romania, in Bucharest, because of the war in Ukraine, obviously. Due to that war, we basically are favorites. That's just the way it is. Otherwise, you know, if everything was nice and dandy in Ukraine, you know, this would be a very, very tough game. It's still going to be a very, very tough game. Let's not forget they eliminated Fenerbahce from the Champions League qualifiers last season. Then ended up in the Europa League or the Conference League groups together. And then Fenerbahce beat them twice, I believe. So, yeah. It's definitely not a given that we're going to be going through to the Conference League group stages, but we really should be. There's no excuse to not go to the Conference League group stages. Dynamo Kiev is, of course, a great team, a club with a lot of history, but due to the situation they are in, we have to beat them. So the first leg is on Thursday, and that's what we have to focus on now. And that's also why I'm a little bit upset, because it's, again, you lose you lose points not because of yourself. Like, Dynamo Kiev lost on the weekend in the league. I'm sure they'll be kicking themselves. But we lost points due to a very controversial situation again. And that takes focus away. That impacts the players. We've seen it time and time again. Remember a couple of years ago, two seasons ago, when we had that Adana Demirspor game where Balotelli scored with his arm in at a time and the game ended 3-3. That rattled the team at the time. I don't really think this is going to rattle the team per se, but still, I think it's going to linger in their minds. And I think their focus needs to be 100% on Dynamo Kiev right now. And even if a couple of percentages are taken away due because of this weird decision by the referees, I think it's the percentages too many. We need to have full focus on the Dynamo Kiev game on Thursday. It's very important. We have to get a decent result in Bucharest. And then, of course, the week after we face Adana Demirspor away in the league, we have to finish the job at home in Istanbul. Very important for us to go to the UEFA Conference League. We have to get those coefficient points, not just for ourselves, but also for Turkey, but mainly for ourselves. We have to get those coefficient points because the reason we're playing a team like Dynamo Kiev right now is, of course, because of the last 5 years we have done so poorly in Europe. Either we didn't participate or we did very poorly, and that has us now at a very low coefficient point level. And that, of course, results in us having to play harder opposition. So depending on our where we finish in the league this season, you know, whether we go to the Champions League, Europa League or Conference League next season, or, you know, let's hope we go to Europe. This whatever we do now in Europe is going to impact our season our next season as well in Europe, because it's going to decide who we're going to have to play. So very important that we get past Dynamo Kiev and get to those group stages. So on Thursday, I hope all the players will be focused. I for sure hope that Şenol Güneş will start with actual wingers on Thursday. He will not be bound with the foreign limit, which is an advantage, because obviously yesterday he started with Onur on the wing. I think a lot of us were hoping for Rasička to start. However, I kind of understand he went with Amartey and Koli at the back. And I understand that because he wants to build that chemistry and that partnership up. But because he did that, he couldn't start another foreign winger. And he went with Muleka and Onur. We have to give credit to Onur. I mean, I'm not a big fan of him on the wing. And I'm not a big fan of him in general. I mean, not that I don't like him as a footballer, but it's just that I think Rosie is a far better full right back. And as a winger, he just isn't that good. He had his moments again yesterday. He had some good moments. And he, of course, gave the assist to Jetson last week. Like, you have to give him credit. He's a very serviceable player. But at the end of the day, we have better players in both those positions, and we want to see those players play. But of course, until Zainutdinov, who's going to be made official soon, by the way, he's already in Istanbul, as you all know. Did I speak about that actually in the last episode? I don't think I did, so I'll talk about it quickly then. So Bakhtiyor Zainutdinov has actually arrived in Istanbul. He'll be costing us 4.5 million. He's signing a 4-year deal, and he'll be earning 1.2 million. Per year. However, CSKA Moscow were dragging their feet a little bit on the paperwork, so it's expected that probably when you listen to this, it's probably already official. So it's expected that the announcement will be made on Monday today. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see if it actually happens. There's already pictures taken, official pictures of him signing the contract and stuff that have leaked. They weren't supposed to be posted yet, but they've leaked on social media already. So it'll be done really soon. And he will, of course, become a very important player for Şenol Güneş in order to cope with the foreign limits. You know, obviously, we have Mert. He'll be starting. But then you have Sali and you have Cenk, who are for sure starting material. But with Sali, you have to keep in mind, we now got Chamberlain. So we have Jetson, we have Hazia Mitrovic, and we have Sali, and we have Chamberlain. Jetson is somebody that's always going to start. He's the heart and the engine of the team, so he'll always start when he's fit, I think. Maybe he'll be rested from time to time, but in general, you'd always expect him to start, and probably is the first name on the team sheet from Şenol Güneş. And Hadži Ahmetović, we keep seeing time and time again how important he is and how good he really is, even though he's not the type of player that's always in the spotlight, kind of like Atiba was. And then Salih really is the only Turkish option we have in midfield, because Şenol, ever since he came back, he hasn't really been considering Kerem Atakan Kezgin, who we paid $2 million for last season, but has played very little. And even when he's played, I thought he looked good, so I find it quite puzzling that he doesn't get any opportunities to play. Demirege gets more playing time than Kerem does. In fact, a lot more playing time. I don't even recall Kerem getting any time in the preseason friendlies, let alone in official matches. So that makes Salih a very important commodity, especially in the league, because in the league we have to field three Turks. So with Mert and with Cenk, you have two quality players. Salih is also a quality player, but is Salih going to play over Chamberlain throughout the season? Let alone if we happen to sign some, like a creative 10 or Anderson Talisca, whatever. Just spitballing here, like another player that will have to slot into that midfield. Then you would imagine that Salih is one of the first ones to get dropped from this team. Then Zainutdinov becomes really important, because he can fill a variety of roles. He can play any position really, left back, right back, left mid, right mid, left winger, right winger, number 10, central defender, central midfielder. He can do it all, really. It's going to make him an incredibly valuable player for Şenol Güneş. And I think he will probably be the third, quote unquote, Turk in the lineup for a lot of the games in the Turkish league. So I really think that he's a great signing and is going to be very important for the team this season and the coming seasons, hopefully. But it's undoubtedly going to be a puzzle for Şenol Güneş, you know, throughout the season. He's going to have to find a way to make that three Turk rule work. With Zainutdinov, it becomes easier. But, you know, when we are talking about this among my friends and I, about how it's all going to work out, how it's all going to fit, we have Masuaku, we have Rozier, who are both, you know, among the best fullbacks in the league. You basically have to play them at the back centrally. We don't really have a Turkish option as long as Tayyip is out injured. You know, we have Necip, who's been playing a lot recently, but, you know, we all know Necip to be serviceable at times, but he's not what Beşiktaş should be having as a starter in 2023, right? Amartey and Koli are probably going to be the main two center backs, you would imagine. And then we get into the midfield, and I think, you know, to come back full circle to that issue of lack of creativity, I think it has in at least to do with the fact that our midfield, yeah, I think Hadži Ahmetović, Jetson and Salih is a good pairing, but there's a real lack of creativity there. I really think that we could have used somebody like Malinovski or another more creative player. Of course, fans are putting a lot of pressure on the board for Anderson Talisca to come back. Now, if we don't consider financials, am I in favor of Talisca coming back? Of course, everyone, I think, wants to see him back at Beşiktaş at some point. Well, Beşiktaş fans, of course, our rival fans won't. But we also know Talisca was never that creative number 10. He was always the guy that came and scored goals. I think we saw yesterday, you know, a glimpse of what Chamberlain is capable of. He already got into two decent positions, one from outside the box and one in the box. And then the second one, of course, you know, Erdem made a good save. But I mean, Chamberlain's kind of similar in that way, that he's probably more of a guy that's going to come up in and around the area, be dangerous. But we need someone with that killer pass. We can't always rely on Rozier and Masuaku to put in good crosses. Plus, on top of that, like, we don't want to be that one-dimensional, right? We want to have more danger than just the crossing game. That's what we kind of struggled with towards the end of the first Şenol Güneş era, when, you know, we were just giving every single ball to Quaresma, and we just wanted him to cross all the time. And don't get me wrong, Quaresma is one of the best crossers I've ever seen in the Turkish league, and maybe even at the world stage. Like the way he was able to cross the ball in his second stint at Beşiktaş is just remarkable, incredible. But if you're only going to do that, you're just playing, you know, cross and inshallah. It's basically what we did afterwards as well when Quaresma went. Abdullah Avcı did the same thing with Caner, basically just cross and inshallah. That's not a good game plan. Like, of course, having good wings with good crossing ability is a great weapon to have, but you need to be able to create danger from the middle of the park and from other situations as well. If you're going to be too one-dimensional, you're just making it too easy for your opponent to try and shut you down. If you overly rely on one or two players to cross the ball in constantly, then they're just going to put more of their players on that guy to lock him down and to make it more difficult for him to have freedom and to put in that cross. So you really need to have multiple sources of danger, and right now I think our midfield, yeah, Jetson is really dangerous when he goes on a run, and I think Chamberlain can do that as well. And there's danger there, but Jetson, he scores the odd really good goal and he gives an assist here and there, but he's not consistently providing a good end product yet. I think if he was, he wouldn't be playing in Turkey at this point. Like, all the other abilities and qualities he has, if he would have consistent end product to add to that, he'd be a 40, 50, 60 million euro player. He's just that good already. If you give him end product, he's just gonna be, you know, he's just out of this world then. That's probably why it didn't really work out for him in England at the time, because the end product just wasn't there. But it's slowly starting to become better and better. We're seeing more and more goal contributions from Jetson towards the end of last season and now at the start of this season, you know, last week with that amazing goal against Karagümrük. If he can continue to develop, he's still only, I believe he's only 24 still. You know, he still has a lot of margin to grow. So hopefully, let's knock on wood. But we need more danger and creativity would be nice. Somebody like Malinowski who can set up, you know, who can send the ball to the wings, who is dangerous from outside the box with a long shot, who can give a true pass, who can give an assist, someone like that. Obviously, Malinowski is now, I believe he has signed with Genoa, so he's off the table. But someone like that, Oscar was being mentioned a couple of, like a month ago or so, who's currently playing in China, but of course previously played for Chelsea. Someone like that could be a really good weapon for us. Although right now it really looks more toward that if we are going to make a big signing, it might be Talisca. But, you know, I'm not going to comment on those financials right now because those are out of this world. But that could work maybe, but I don't know. It's going to be a really difficult puzzle for Şenol Güneş to make that work, I think, because then you have Chamberlain, then you have Talisca, then you have Jetson, you have Hadži Ahmetović, so you have four really good foreigners from midfield, and you still have to field three Turks. That basically means you need to either bench two of those guys, bench Salih, yeah, or figure out something else. Like Rebic is gonna get benched on the wing then for Cenk, because then Cenk kind of basically has to play. And, you know, let's be honest, Cenk scored, 17 goals last season? If he comes back from his injury and he gets back to that form from last season, then he should play. Rebic right now is showing glimpses of what he can do, but he's not doing anything that makes him a Banco player, you know? He doesn't have to play over Cenk. Cenk, if he comes back, gets the shirt. Why not, right? But we need to have that depth anyway, so Rebic would make plenty of minutes. I still think that, you know, despite the fact that Chamberlain's come in now, maybe Talisca or somebody else comes, Salih is always going to get his minutes because he's a Turk. And I think just generally, there's going to be all those guys, like even Necip, you know, but Zainuddinov, he's going to get plenty of playing time as long as he's not injured. And just all those relatively good Turks, even on a bullet, he's, you know, don't just expect him to disappear in the next coming weeks. He's gonna keep making his minutes throughout the season. I'm sure of that. He's done enough. He's shown enough. And Chanel, I think, now puts enough stock in his performances that he will keep giving him opportunities. But there's a little bit of a pickle there as well, and we have to fix that issue. We have to fix that lack of creativity, or at least that lack of chance creation. You don't necessarily need a maestro type player. If you look at Galatasaray last season, they didn't have a number 10. They didn't have a very creative player on the pitch either. It can work without that really creative player, but you just need to have enough players who have something surprising in them, who have a really good dribble and a shot in them, who have something unpredictable. You know, if you have, like, that's why I was a really big fan of the idea of Nicolas Pepe, because he has speed, he has control on the ball, and he is actually a really good goal scorer as well. Rasička has that unpredictability to him. He has speed, he's quick. You know, speed and quick is not the same thing, mind you, if you're thinking I'm saying the same thing twice. He has ability on the ball, he has eye for his teammates, he works really hard, and he's got a decent shot as well. And then Rebic, I think, you know, people are criticizing him already a little bit, but he's, in the minutes he has played, he has shown good things. The other day as well, like yesterday, I saw a lot of, not a lot, but I saw some criticism on Rebic. But when that 1-1 gets scored, who is the guy going down the left, putting that ball in and almost winning the game for us? If Ege hits that ball, Demirege hits that ball a little bit better beyond the reach of the goalkeeper, then we're in a delirium and we're winning this game still. Like, that was a really good cross he put in under a lot of pressure. That's that one moment in the game after you fucked it, basically, after you slipped up. That's that one moment in the game where you can still rectify the mistake. And Rebic did his part. Demirege got on the end of it. Header wasn't terrible. Good save by Erdem. But that really should have been a goal. And the same thing can be said about the chance for Abubakar and other chances throughout the game. We had those four really big chances, and at least one of them should have been converted, but we didn't. We weren't efficient enough yesterday. At the end of the day, of course, the referee decision to disallow that second goal is going to be the talking point, and rightfully so. But at the end of the day, we should have taken one of those chances anyway. But we shouldn't linger too long on this loss of points. We're going to drop points regardless. There's going to be disappointments. This is a big disappointment to drop points in this type of a match against that type of an opposition, but these things happen. We have to look forward now towards Thursday. Dynamo Kiev is a really important game for us, for the future of the club, not just because of the coefficients, also financially. Participating in the Conference League group stages is going to be a financial boost for the club. It's going to be an additional several million euros in the treasury, and we need that right now. We always need that, so it's really important that we get a good result on Thursday. Then we have a really difficult away game at Adana Demirspor, and then we have the return at home against Dynamo Kiev the week after. So there's three really important games coming up. The two against Dynamo Kiev, the more important ones, I would say. Probably a good thing that Adana Demirspor are also active in Europe and have two important games of their own to deal with. But yeah, we have to focus on Thursday now. But I think we've lingered long enough now on this game from yesterday. We've talked a little bit about the squad planning, I guess you could say. The difficulties that Şenol Güneş is going to have in the upcoming months. Trying to find the perfect combination. I think he's going to have to make a lot of switches here and there. I think plenty of players are going to get their minutes. Şenol is not known to have the best rotational policy, but he's going to have to this season if he wants to compete for the trophy. But anyway, little bit of another note then. Yesterday, my good friend Sinan Schwording, my co-host, of course, the co-founder of the Black Eagles podcast, you all know and love him, as do I. He was in Istanbul and he was going for his first ever game. at Beşiktaş with his wife and little daughter Kaya. So in the After the Beep, which is making a return, we're going to have a little bit of the sounds of Sinan's day out in Beşiktaş and a little bit of a post-match experience. He's going to give us his findings on maybe the game, his experience of the day. It was a disappointing result, of course, for all of us, but it was a very special moment for Sinan to go to his first ever game in the Beşiktaş Stadium and to be able to share that with his little daughter Kaya. So stay tuned for after. And
thank you. nil, B.I. So, Kaya, what did you think of your first half at a Beşiktaş match?
It was awesome. I loved it.
Are we going to win?
Yes.
I think so, too. So, Kaya, in the first half, what did you think was the best part of the Beşiktaş team?
I think the best part was the defense because Rozier was really good.
Did you think Masuaku was really good?
Yeah, he was great.
What about Kali and Amarte?
They were really good defense, and I thought their work was very efficient.
That's a good point. Second half is beginning. Hey! Missed a dangerous free kick. The fans are pissed. It was a pretty shit game. We didn't play well. We let them do way too much in the second half.
Why? Because if they come out here, though.
My first match. Obviously, fantastic experience, but an unfortunate result. Hope everyone's doing well. Peace out. So, what a night. What an experience. My throat's a little raspy because I yelled a lot. It was a just absolutely epic experience. Total bucket list material. The whole experience, I had this smile on my face that I just couldn't wipe off it. Even through the, you know, tragedy of the referee and all of that in the match itself. But I can't, like, where do I begin, you know? Entering Beşiktaş, the neighborhood, going into that main sort of plaza, you know, the chants, the like the whole atmosphere, like the streets are reverberating. Like from that moment, just the moment you start to feel like, oh my God, we're here. There's just this huge grin on my face that was just there for the whole night. Even walking home at the end of the night, like the train shut down. So we had to walk through like Kadıköy with our Beşiktaş gear. I was still smiling through the whole experience. It was just so fantastic. Obviously I brought my daughter. I don't know if Khan will include my little halftime interview with her. She's always got a soft spot for Rosier. But yeah, I mean, she was also so happy, and I think just enjoying experiencing it with me. You know, we've been watching Beşiktaş since she was born on TV, so I think it was like attaching a real experience to all that stuff, and just like the fan atmosphere. I know people were saying it was quiet, but it was so loud in the stadium itself, especially relative to like, you know, an American sporting experience. I'll have to take her to a Knicks game so she can see the difference. And I mean, the Knicks are the most passionate fan base in the NBA probably. And still, it's just nothing compared to what we experienced. Another side note, my wife who came had been to a Lazio match against Palermo, a real, you know, Serie A match. And she said that that experience had been absolutely nothing compared to what she experienced at Beşiktaş Stadium last night. So, I mean, it was so special, and I bucket list doesn't even begin to explain the feelings I've had about it, you know, even into today. Just absolutely fantastic, life-affirming type of moment for me, certainly. And I think doing it with my daughter, having her experience that, like, young, the way I probably should have, made it all the better. Yeah, I mean, tons of just great photos, obviously, a video, you know, the goal that they called off against, that Cully scored, that was right in front of us, you know, we were right in the Yeniashik section, so, I mean, it was, just everything about it was so fantastic, I can't stop gushing about it, you know, even despite the result. As for the match itself, obviously, we were a little underwhelming. We need far more creative emphasis going forward, right? And I think, I mean, that it's to be expected. We're still starting basically our backups on the wing. Referees totally screwed us. I mean, in a way, it's probably fitting that my Beşiktaş experience involved a referee screw job, because that's such a huge part of being a Beşiktaş fan, right? But so, yeah, I mean, I don't know, I could keep going on for days, it feels like, about how amazing the whole thing was, but I'll leave it at that. Obviously, we wanted a better result, but they'll come. It's just one match. You know, our rivals have just kept spending and spending and spending. And so it's probably not even realistic. Like, I don't even think we should be trying to compete at that level. And we need to be focusing on camaraderie, building a team the proper way, smart investment. I don't think we need to be caught up in this like arms race, because, you know, one of these teams, only one of them can win, and the other is going to be like bankrupted by this whole transfer window. So, you know, I don't even hate the sort of slow and measured approach we're taking. Obviously, we need pieces, and we need them now. But, you know, we've got our new Kazaki defender who will make a huge impact, and, you know, I'm not overly concerned by one result. And it was a draw, right? We didn't lose, so it wasn't a total L in that sense. But the experience was, in fact, a complete W, like the exact opposite. I'll never forget it. And yeah, just revelatory, life-affirming, you know, the stuff that you bring with you to your deathbed type of thing. Just, yeah. I can't even. It was amazing. And I can't wait to, you know, I have two more away matches to watch while I'm here in Turkey. And I'll try to maybe go to Beşiktaş and hit up the bars and you know, get something of an authentic experience, even with that. So maybe I'll have more to report. Maybe I'll get some Beşiktaş bar sounds or something for a future episode while I'm still here. But shout out to Khan and all of our listeners. I hope you guys are ready for me to return and make my grand return to the podcast eventually. But until then, peace out, everyone, and let's go Besiktas! Later, everyone.